ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Say with a little energy. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Do we have more chairs? There are people standing at the back. Do we have enough chairs? More chairs? Otherwise, some of our devotees can come and sit here on the stage and make the seats free. Those of you who are standing at the back, please take a seat. I'd really prefer if you don't take photos now, if you just listen kindly. Also, that light is dazzling. So I'll sit for a few minutes if you'd like to take photos afterwards. Please don't take photos now. Yeah, please come and sit on this, in the seats here, those of you who are standing at the back. The topic that has been given for the lecture is why read the Bhagavad Gita? Why should we read the Bhagavad Gita? Well, we can also ask, why do we do anything? Why do we get up in the morning? Why do we brush our teeth? Why do we get dressed? Why do we go to work? Why do we go on the internet? Why do we go on holidays, if we have any holidays? Why do we do anything? Well, if you say, why do you brush your teeth? You say, well, I don't know, they told me that when I was a kid, and I've been doing it ever since. It's supposed to keep the teeth clean and fresh and stop halitosis, bad breath. Why do you go to work? Well, I have to earn money so I can buy vegetables on Sunday night in the Singapore township. All the fresh vegetables come. If we go a little, then why do you buy vegetables? Have to eat. Why do you have to eat? Well, without eating, then you feel hungry and you get weak and then you'll die. But if we go deeper and deeper and deeper, we'll find the answer to every question is that everything that everyone does is meant for getting happiness and avoiding distress. That's true not only of humans, but every living being. Even the plants, they grow toward the sunlight, even though their consciousness is very slight. But still they have the sense of wanting to be nourished and happy and to avoid distress. So everything that we do is for the sake of happiness, and avoiding distress is part of that, because if there's distress then we can't be happy, obviously. Yeah, please put off your phone. Now, you may say, well, it's not that we do everything for happiness. There's a sense of duty also. I go to work, I don't really want to go to work, but I have to maintain my family. So it's true that everyone does everything for the sake of happiness and to avoid distress. But people who are of more developed consciousness, or we would hope every human being, except some people who are very, very bad, they have a sense of right and wrong and doing what is good. For instance, you might find yourself in a situation where you're in a shop, jewelry shop, and no one's looking, and you have the opportunity to steal a gold necklace, but you don't do it because you think, no, that's not good. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't steal. It's not good. You may also think, I may get caught. It won't be very good. But there's also a sense of right and wrong. So you may say, well, all right, this is very interesting. But what's it got to do with Bhagavad Gita? Well, this is exactly the situation that Arjuna found himself in, which led to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaking Bhagavad Gita to him. You all know the background. Arjuna was arrayed before the opposing armies. He was meant to fight. Krishna was his charioteer. And Arjuna suddenly thought, but I don't want to fight. Why? What happiness is there in fighting? He thought, we're here to fight so we can win the kingdom. By winning the kingdom, we'll be happy. You see the point? It's for the sake of happiness he was there to fight. But if we kill, to win this battle and win the kingdom, we're going to have to fight and probably kill all our friends and cousins and brothers and gurus and everyone we like, or everyone for whose sake we'd like to rule the kingdom, everyone who we could be happy with is going to be killed, or is very likely to be killed. So what happiness will there be in getting the kingdom? So he's calculating in terms of happiness. We came here to win the kingdom, then we'll be happy if we get the kingdom. But then on the other hand, if all these people are killed, then we won't be happy. So let's make a happiness calculation. Yes, we want to win the kingdom. We'll be this much happy. But if all these people are killed, that we'll be more unhappy. So if we make a calculation, it's better not to fight, because then we'll be more happy. We'd like to win the kingdom and be happy, but the result will be that so many people will be killed, so better we don't fight. And Arjuna was also thinking in terms of good and bad, that this fight is not right. There are so many things wrong in this. First of all, we shouldn't fight against our family members. We shouldn't fight against our respected elders. That's one consideration. If we consider right and wrong, then we shouldn't fight against these people. We could fight against other people, but we shouldn't fight against these people. It's against dharma to attack our gurus like Bhishma and Drona. Then another consideration, considering the consequences, if this battle goes ahead as planned, all the Kshatriyas, all the protectors of the citizens, the great majority of them will be killed, and then the women will be unprotected, they'll be taken advantage of, and the result will be that children will be born, Varna Sankara. Children, she wants a chair? Give this chair for her. She's looking for a chair. All the children who will be born, they'll be born out of improper unions, and so they'll be of very poor consciousness. And when there's so many children like that born out in poor consciousness, then they'll make a big mess of the world. One reason why is the world in such chaos today? Well, one reason is that children are born out of lust, not out of dharma. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dhammaviruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Sexual connection according to dharma, from which good children are produced, that is a representation of Krishna. But sex out of lust, that produces lusty children with all the bad qualities of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, pride. So that's one reason why the world is in a big chaotic mess, the world today, because the people who are populating it are born out of lust. And then they give birth to children, then they themselves in poor consciousness, and their children are worse, and it's a not only a perpetuating cycle, but it's a exacerbating cycle of poor consciousness, sinful consciousness children being born. So why should we read the Bhagavad Gita? Why should we take this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? Well, we're all in the same situation as Arjuna, or potentially we're in the same situation. We all want to be happy. That's true. I don't have to ask everyone. Even if I ask you, do you want to be happy? And you say no, we won't believe you. But even if you say no, that means you think by not being happy, I'll be more happy. There are some people like that. They're called masochists. They deliberately inflict pain on their own body. They'll cut their body with knives. Somehow it's a strange psychological condition. They take pleasure in giving pain to their own body. So even such people, they do that for pleasure, some kind of strange sensual pleasure. But somehow they get some happiness out of that. So everyone wants to be happy, but it is that, and many people also want to be good. Arjuna wanted to be happy and he wanted to be good, but he found himself in a situation where the whole situation was set up so that disaster was impending. Millions of men were going to be killed. So he wanted to stop the fight. Let's have a peace conference. We're just on the verge of fighting. It might have been that both sides were arranging their armies, and both sides thought the other side will back out. But neither side backed out. So Arjuna thought, let's at the last minute make some peace treaty. So for happiness, they had arranged the fight. But then when they thought in terms of good and bad, no, this is not good. Maybe we thought Duryodhana would back out, but he didn't back out. So we should back out. Let's not go on with our ego, Arjuna thought. The fight. No, all right. Let Duryodhana rule the kingdom. We'll back out. Let him enjoy. Why should we cause so much suffering? It'll cause so much suffering, this fight. So he wanted to back out. So we all find ourselves, maybe not unlikely that we find ourselves in such a dramatic situation as Arjuna, but we all find ourselves in situations all the time which we don't like to be in them. We can't dictate the world the way we want it to be. We come to a place like Singapore Township and we think, well, yeah, it's quite peaceful here, quite nice, everything should be quite nice, we'll be quite happy and we're quite good people. But the nature of this world is that even though we want to be happy and we want to be good, the nature of this world is that even unsought, so many difficulties come unexpectedly. Anything can happen at any time. No one expects disasters, tragedies, disturbances, but it happens all the time. You can look, if you don't do it, but if you were to look on your iPhone or whatever you have, smartphone, look at the news. What's going on? It's all disaster, mostly all disaster. People, you're living here very peacefully in Singapore Township. There were so many people living very peacefully in Syria a few years ago, just like you. They were getting up in the morning, sending their kids off to school, going to work, coming back in the evening, watching the TV, just like you. Now their whole country is a complete disaster zone. It could happen here also. No, not here. Not possible. That's what they thought in Syria. If you'd have said 6 or 7 years ago that this area will be a complete war zone where you can't even go to, someone may go to buy vegetables and you don't know, he may be blown up. It's quite possible, quite likely. Actually, that's coming everywhere with terrorism. Anything can, especially the terrorists strike where they're not expected. That's how they work. So, and apart from that, there may be all kinds of things some sudden health condition, or sudden legal, someone makes a case on you, or someone for no reason gives you so many problems. This is the nature of the world. Sometimes we live very peacefully, that's a trap. If we're living peacefully, that is a trap of Maya, to make us think that this world is very peaceful and very nice. Because even if we live our whole life very peacefully, which is increasingly unlikely in this Kali Yuga, still we have to suffer death, and after death, jatasya hi dhruvang mrityu dhruvang janma mrityasya cha. If you're born, you have to die. And if you die, you have to get born again. So we're all in a disaster zone. Singapore Township is a disaster zone. Really? It's going to be on the news tomorrow? No, it's... Well, it might be, you don't know. But the whole material world is a disaster zone. What's the main problem facing people in Singapore Township? Death. Really? So many people are dying? Yeah, everyone's going to die. My dear friends, you're all going to die. Really? Swami came to curse us? No, I'm not cursing you. I'm not cursing you. It's just a fact. You're all going to die. And not only die once, again and again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jataraisha. We know all this, we heard all this. We Hindus, we know all these things. That's another foolishness to say this. Arjuna, what Krishna taught Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he already knew, pretty much. He'd been living in the forest with Yudhishthira, and although Bhima and Arjuna, they were more interested in fighting, after all they're kshatriyas, in martial pursuits, Yudhishthira was very interested in meeting rishis and the forests. Yudhishthira was actually quite happy. Oh, I go to the forest, a lot of rishis there, so we can listen. Great, we can listen to the rishis. So they had to follow their elder brother, and he would sit down with all the rishis in the forest, and they'd tell him all stories from the Puranas, and they became the Puranas. So Arjuna, it was not new to him, all these things, that we are Atma, we're not the body, the body will die, the soul is eternal. There's nothing new for Arjuna, many of the topics of Bhagavad Gita. So like that you may say, well, I'm a Hindu. I saw the Krishna cartoon when I was a kid. I don't know, I think it's probably the kids now, they didn't see the Amar Chitra Katha. That used to be the way the Hindu kids grow up, learning about the Puranas and Mahabharata, but I think that's out of date now. You know, it's Chota Bhim and all this kind of thing. It's now cartoons. So anyway, we know all these things. Well, that's the trouble. Arjuna also thought, I'm a Hindu. Well, maybe he didn't think I'm a Hindu, because the Hindu word hadn't been invented at the time. By the way, if you think you're a Hindu, you're wrong, because there's no such word as Hindu in the Shastra. We don't find in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna tells Arjuna, come on Arjuna, be a good Hindu. Because the word wasn't invented, it was actually given by Muslims. So if you say, Gar se kaho, I'm Hindu hai, the word Hindu was actually given by Muslims as an insulting word. Hindu, we're Hindus. So anyway, that's nothing to do with Bhagavad Gita. It's not in Bhagavad Gita, not in Mahabharata, not in Ramayana. It's not in any of the Puranas or the Vedas. The word Hindu is not a Hindu word. It's a Muslim word. It's not a Sanskrit word. Anyway, Arjuna thought he knew. He thought, well, I gave Krishna some pretty convincing arguments there, you see. We won't be happy by fighting, and it's against Dharma, and the women will be unprotected. And okay, Krishna, see, I know a lot. I learned so many things, and I've given a watertight case. There should not be any fighting. Krishna looked at him like Arjuna. What happened to you? An Arya Jusha, what happened to you? Klaibyang Masmagamav Partha. What happened to you? You became a eunuch? What? You don't want to fight? What's wrong with you? You're speaking like a big pundit, but you don't know, actually, you think you know, but you don't know. So this is why you should read Bhagavad Gita as it is, because there are so many people who think, hey, I'm a Hindu, I know all this. But they don't know. They might have some theoretical knowledge, but they don't. If they actually knew what is the message of Bhagavad Gita, they wouldn't live their life the way that they're living it. They would be conscious of what? Smaran nityam anityatvam. Be conscious always that everything here is temporary. They would be conscious. Yang yang vapi smran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tam tamai vaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. You may think I know this, but according to our consciousness, at the time of death, we get our next birth. And according to what we do in this life, our consciousness at the time of death is made. So if we're in dog-like consciousness, then we get a body of a dog. That's why it's very dangerous to keep dogs. It's now become considered a high-class thing among Indians to have a pedigree dog in their house. Shastra states that who keeps dogs in their house is a chandala, but because the Western people have this habit of keeping dogs, Indian people like to keep dogs in their house. But if we become attached to the dog, then we'll become a dog in our next life. Very dangerous. If we act like a dog, roo, 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 get out of here. If we have the mentality of a dog, then we'll become a dog in our next life. If we like to eat meat, we'll become a dog. There's so many reasons why ever wondered why there are so many dogs running around the street in India at night? Could have been your best friend. Oh, my best friend died a year ago. Chase that dog out! It's your best friend. He's coming to see you. Became a dog. But don't worry, you'll also become a dog, and then you'll be with your best friend again. This is what's going on. Once in America, Srila Prabhupada, he told people, be careful, you're going to become a dog in your next life. And someone said to him, well, what's wrong with that? He actually thought it'd be nice to become a dog. What will you say to such a person? Srila Prabhupada said, okay, I give you my blessing. You want it? You become a dog. Bhagavad Gita, we should understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, because we're all in a very dangerous situation of thinking that this material world is a place for us to enjoy, and if I become a dog, what's the problem? I'll also enjoy as a dog. Once in Thailand, because the majority population of Thailand is Buddhist, so they all believe in reincarnation. And they're very fond of eating all kinds of things which you couldn't imagine eating, including grasshoppers and rats and snakes. But the favorite food there is pork. I was just recently in Udupi. There's a big church there. Outside the church, there's a sign, pork delivered to your home. They're advertising eating pork. If you don't know what pork is, it's pig's meat. So they're very fond of eating pork. So I asked one time, I asked a Thai woman, then why do you eat pork? And she said, she looked at me like it's a stupid question. She said, Sanuk. Sanuk means, it's the Thai word for Anand. So I told her that, don't you know, if you eat pigs, then in your next life you'll become a pig. And she said, yeah, and as a pig I'll also have Sanuk. What does it matter if I'm a pig? I'll be happy as a pig, she thought. This is called Maya, illusion, by which we take that which is suffering to be pleasure. We're so much in illusion that we think that what is actually the cause of our distress, we take it to be pleasure. Yehi, this is Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches. This is why you should read Bhagavad Gita. If we understand even one verse of Bhagavad Gita, if we actually understand it, then we cannot continue to live our life in the pursuit of illusory pleasure. Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evateya adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. People want happiness. What do they take for happiness? Sensual pleasure. What do I like to eat? What do I like to see? Seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, feeling. By all the senses, I will be happy. But Krishna tells us, in Bhagavad Gita, these are all causes of distress. Even in planning how I'll get happiness, that's actually distress. Even when now I'm happy, I'm eating pork, I'm happy. I don't eat pork, I'm a good Brahmin. I eat idiyappams and rice and sambar. That very nice. In the Telugu speaking people, we used to say the Andhra people, but now you have to say the Telugu speaking people. They like You see, they made Telangana state. Big agitation, some people committed suicide. And what's the great advantage? You see, people are still birth, death, old age and disease is going on. Whether it's Telangana or Andhra, it's the same birth and death is going on. So anyway, you're eating, and we're Telugu people, with lots of chili, like chili powder. So, very nice. Very nice. But that's also distress. In the pleasure is built in distress. And afterwards, for everything that we do, we get a reaction. So this material world is simply full of suffering. I said if we understand one verse of Bhagavad Gita, it can change our life. One word. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes this material world as dukhalayam. It is a place of misery. And we say, well, I'm not miserable. It seems quite nice. Oh, well, we'll find out. We'll find out. This so-called pleasure just sets us up to suffer more and more and more. But there's good news. Prastasmatu bhavano vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashati. Beyond this material world where there is suffering repeatedly, repeated birth and death, even the whole universe is destroyed at some point in time and then again recreated. Beyond that there is the spiritual world. Krishna comes to this world to teach us that beyond this material world of suffering, there is the spiritual world of eternal happiness. This human life is meant for preparing ourselves to go to the spiritual world, to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Labdva sudurlava midang bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yateta napateta namritya yava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasya. You all have good brains, I presume. You're Infosys workers, mostly Infosys workers, good brains. Learn these shlokas, learn them in this verse which I just, is also spoken by Krishna. Now we have human life. Every one of you who is listening is a human, right? Now you're a human. There are also trees and some bugs flying around. Fortunately, there aren't mosquitoes here. They probably all got sprayed away, poisoned away. You're all humans. You all have the human form of life. This human birth is attained after many, many, many births. It's very rarely attained. And it doesn't last very long. Here's a little boy sitting here. Here's an elderly woman sitting here. Within a short time, the young boy will be old. And what happens to old people? You have young people, middle-aged people, old people, and the next thing is dead people. And the next thing is again born. So it goes on and on and on. But human life is very short. But it is the opportunity to get out of this cycle of birth and death. Therefore, every person who is actually intelligent, what do? They work for Infosys. No. Every person who is actually intelligent, they consider that before I die, which will happen very soon, it might be in 1 minute, it might be in 100 years, you never know. Ever since I was born, the scientists are talking about how we're going to make your life long and extend your life, and we'll give you some injections so you can live longer. So you never know, you might live to be 120. But anyway, you have to die. But before we die, we should do whatever is required so that we don't get born again. And if we dedicate, if we think, no, I want to enjoy myself, I want to eat nicely and live in a nice apartment and enjoy lots of sex and smoke and drink. We already had that, we already did that in so many lifetimes. As a cow, as a cat, as a pig, as a dog, as a worm, as a tree. And if we don't take self-realization, Krishna consciousness, seriously, then again we have to enter the cycle of birth and death, and again become a cat, a dog, a tree, a pigeon, a chimpanzee, and then again after a long, long time, after many births in human birth. So now is the opportunity. One who is actually intelligent, studies Bhagavad Gita and takes Krishna's message takes Krishna's message and prepares himself to go out of this material world, not to get born again, to go to the spiritual world. And the process is very easy. That's given in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mame vaishasi satyang te pratijane priyosime. Krishna told Arjuna, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. In this way you will surely come to me. I promise this to you, Krishna says to Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend. So the process to get out of this miserable material world is, it's not just a negative process, it's not just negating, but it's developing on the positive side our actual spiritual nature as eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna is all bliss. We all want to be happy. I started this talk by saying that we all want to be happy. There's no happiness in this material world. Happiness is with Krishna. Krishna is all blissful. And by serving Krishna, by connecting with Krishna, by bhakti yoga, we also become blissful, happy on a platform that's far beyond the platform of sensual happiness. So Krishna gives these directions in Bhagavad Gita how to live our life in Krishna consciousness, thinking of Krishna. In this life, if we think of Krishna, we become happy. If we follow Krishna's direction, as Arjuna, he had his own idea. Ultimately, he followed Krishna's idea, Karishye Vachanam Tava. After hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna acted according to Krishna's order and he attained the perfection of life. We can also do so. We're not as great as Arjuna. There are so many personality development courses, get ahead, be a success. We're never going to be as great as Arjuna. But it doesn't matter, because Krishna loves us all. He doesn't only love Arjuna, Krishna loves every living being. He is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of every living being. Krishna cares for everyone. Even if we're in the body of a worm, Krishna is also accompanying us. Krishna's with us. Krishna wants us to come to him. So this is what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. How to develop our positive spiritual nature, our real nature, how to bring out the best in us, how to be really good in the best possible way. That is by developing our love for Krishna. And we want to do good for others, that we can do. The best good we can do for others is not by opening hospitals and schools and eye camps and all this kind of thing. By giving people, sharing this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, sharing this chanting of Hare Krishna, giving Krishna prasadam to others. So Krishna consciousness is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we hear that in Bhagavad Gita there are different paths enunciated, karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. But very clearly, if we understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, we'll understand that although karma, jnana and yoga are discussed, very clearly the message is that we should all revive our original consciousness of Krishna, Krishna bhakti. So our most worshipable spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, has very kindly given us Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, but the actual message of Bhagavad Gita, which is to become a devotee of Krishna. Most of the commentators, even though they may be learned scholars, they miss the point. So if you miss the point, then what's the use? If the person explaining the Bhagavad Gita himself doesn't know what it's all about, then we won't be benefited by reading their misconceived understanding of Bhagavad Gita. We have to take Bhagavad Gita from someone who presents it in the same way that Krishna presented it to Arjuna. Therefore, we offer Bhagavad Gita as it is. In the Western countries, even before Srila Prabhupada went there, there were about 600 editions of Bhagavad Gita, different English editions of Bhagavad Gita. And not once, in Bhagavad Gita, the message is to become a devotee of Krishna. Not one single person had become a devotee of Krishna. 600 editions, how many devotees of Krishna? Zero. Then Srila Prabhupada gave Bhagavad Gita as it is, and thousands of people became devotees of Krishna. Because this is the actual message of Krishna. Krishna, his presence, his instructions, the power of Bhagavad Gita is there in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because Srila Prabhupada is an actual representative of Krishna. He's blessed by Krishna to give Krishna to everyone through this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So this is why you should read Bhagavad Gita as it is, to be happy, to be good in the best possible way, in brief. So we have editions, we have copies of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Please read it. People tend to be lazy in the morning. They say, well, I'm not lazy, I work very hard. But people are intellectually lazy. They think, I've enough, all day my brain is strained. So people like just to hang out and play computer games and go to sleep and listen to some music. But engage your intelligence in understanding Bhagavad Gita. If we don't, if we're lazy in the matter of we work so hard just to earn some money, and don't be lazy in the matter of understanding Bhagavad Gita. We have to apply our intelligence and apply our life and apply our determination. We have to take it seriously. So please take a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is if you don't have one. If you do have one, take one anyway and give it to your friend. You can be the best friend of someone by giving them Bhagavad Gita. Diwali is coming up. It's not so big down here in the south, but in North India, it's time for giving gifts. So the best gift you can give someone is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Is there any question about this, please? If anyone has any question, you can please ask now. And I'll try to answer to the best of my ability. I'm not Krishna, as you might have noticed. I hope you noticed. Some people think everyone is God. Well, they're wrong. If you think like that, you're wrong. I'm not God, you're not God, Krishna is God. So I don't know everything, but I can attempt to answer as far as I have learned from Bhagavad Gita as it is, as far as I have learned from my most worshipable Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. So if anyone has any question related to this subject, don't ask me about cricket or something. I don't know anything about cricket. Related to the topic of the discussion. Okay. bing, something went off. Light bulb got turned on. If Krishna actually wants us to follow his path, is that what you said? Yeah.
We are actually born very sad, like I think this is just an act of pleasure that we have. It's not real, it's not
human. I can't understand. Did I say this world is not real? I didn't say that. You said it.
This is simply a part of our journey.
Well, I can't understand. This world is temporary, yes.
Okay. So, why are we in the permanent world? Example, we are actually having a very sad life here.
Somehow I can't make out. Why are we here in this world? Why aren't we there? Well, you can answer that yourself. What are we doing? Why am I here? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna answers this. I hope the sound is clear on that side. I couldn't hear that very clearly. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. Everyone comes to this material world because they have material desires, and they have, that's iccha, and they have dvish. They have bad feeling, from which comes a dvandva moha. One thinks oneself separate from Krishna. We all have an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. But when we desire to be separate from Krishna, then our love for Krishna becomes transformed into dvesh, into bad feeling. So in this world, everyone is competing with everyone else. So this is, we come into this material world due to forgetting Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summed it up, Krishna bhuli se jivan adi bahirmukh, Ataev maya tare daya samsara dukh. When we forget Krishna, we become inimical to Krishna. We come into this material world seeking happiness separately from Krishna. But instead, we are given by maya, the misery of material life. Again in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. Because we have the attitude that I should enjoy this material world, we create our own happiness and distress within it. So really the choice is, we can either agree to go to Krishna by surrendering to Krishna, taking full shelter in Krishna, sarvadhamam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja, or we remain in this material world. It's all there in Bhagavad Gita, as it is. All questions resolved therein. Any other questions? No, okay, so. You can present Bhagavad Gita as it is. And tell anyone if they have the Gita as it is, then they should get the Bhagavatam. That's the next thing. Fill up your homes with transcendental literature.